Friends, here we are. It's Christmas Eve already, 2022. Can you even believe that? It feels like with the winter storm of the last couple days, it kind of made us all kind of lose a little bit of time there, and all of a sudden, boom, we're here, and it's happening very fast. Christmases seem to come and go faster all the time, every year, and so much so that often it feels like the real Christmas sometimes kind of gets missed in that. And if you know what I mean, it just kind of feels like we're here, it's over, it's done, and we're back into the regular routine, and we go another year and we do it all again. For the last few weeks, we've been talking around here about kind of doing life together and how we celebrate Christmas together, and we've been talking about that as it has to do with our families and how it has to do with us as the body of Christ together. And this afternoon, as we're kind of still thinking about that together theme, we're going to be talking about celebrating Christmas together. That's kind of our focus. We want to really celebrate it, celebrate what it's truly about. It's not just a service. It's not just part of our tradition or part of our routine that we go through. It's a celebration. We come together on Christmas Eve. Crazy people come out in below zero degree weather to celebrate, because we celebrate Jesus. That's what we do, and that's why we come together. And let me ask you a question, though. When it comes to Christmas right now and kind of through these last couple of weeks, how's Christmas really been feeling to you? I mean, have you been feeling like it's just something I got to survive? Maybe, especially in the last 2 days, if your shopping wasn't done by yesterday, you were kind of in trouble, right? And maybe it felt like just something you have to survive, or has it felt to you more like, I need to celebrate this? I mean, be honest with what you're really feeling. I just have to survive, or I've been celebrating this. And I guess it could be somewhere in the middle of those two things as well, right? And I'm not going to take a show of hands on that question. But just asking it, and you know, if I were to take a show of hands here, is what I think I could say to you. If you're one of the people that would say, I just got to survive it, here's what I think I can probably promise you, is you wouldn't be the only one. I believe you wouldn't be the only one who might be in that place this evening, this afternoon. Now, some of you may be thinking, but that's some kind of sacrilege, right? Just surviving Christmas, at least if you're a Christian, every Christian ought to be wanting to celebrate Christmas. Well, I hope that we can choose to do that this afternoon, and that's what comes out of our time together. But understand that sometimes circumstances in life, maybe right now, maybe make you fall more into that survival mode instead of the celebration mode. There are several one-word, one-phrase descriptions that explain some people why they may feel survival is the best for Christmas right now over celebration. And here's some of those one-word or one-phrases that might make them feel that way. One is money, right? Especially right now in our economy, money. Or the jungle out there in the shopping, if you still go out to do your shopping. Or sometimes it's parents. Sometimes it's children. Sometimes it's in-laws or family tension or fattening food or loneliness, right, for some, or grief. Grief can be really tough at Christmas, or health issues or joblessness or loss of a loved one, and so much more can kind of put Christmas into the survival mode. Now, I think that most of us who would even answer that I'm celebrating Christmas right now would confess to having some of those tensions through Christmas sometimes, maybe in one of the areas I've just listed, or maybe it's just untangling the Christmas lights this year, or getting the decorating done in time, or maybe knowing what to buy for that person that seems to have everything already, or maybe getting all the gifts wrapped or sending out the Christmas cards, although I found that it seems like less and less people send Christmas cards these days. What you'll likely see is on your social media platforms, you'll see Merry Christmases tonight on Facebook and other places, and you'll see them tomorrow, and that's kind of more what people tend to do. But I think most of us can feel the tension that can sometimes come during Christmas as well as the celebrating. Friends, here's where we get into trouble, where Christmas starts to kind of lose its luster. It's when we allow ourselves to become so focused on the tensions of the times that we go into survival mode and we lose the focus of Jesus, who's the real reason for Christmas. When we lose focus on Jesus. Rick Warren wrote a book several years ago now, and it's called The Purpose of Christmas. And just listen to this paragraph from his book. Here's what he said. He says, ironically, at most Christmas parties, the person whose birthday you're supposed to be celebrating is completely ignored. He's never even mentioned. Although Jesus is the reason for the season, he's often overlooked or merely mentioned with Rudolph, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus, the Grinch, the elves, and a long list of fictional characters. He often is overlooked. Here's the thing. When we overlook or we forget about Jesus, that's when we move into survival mode. That's when we move into survival mode. If you're in survival mode this Christmas, maybe you're focusing on all of the tensions and you're overlooking Jesus. When you overlook Jesus, you move to survive. When you focus on Jesus, you move to celebrate. Let's read one of the familiar passages. We heard a part of it during our worship, but one of the familiar passages that we hear around Christmas time that help us to celebrate, it's in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It'll be on the screen behind me as I read, so if you'll just follow as I read it. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Friends, good news causing great joy, that sounds like celebration to me. Does it sound like celebration to you? They go on to say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Here's another one. A baby being born, again, a time for celebration. That baby being the Messiah, even a greater time for celebration. Then in verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" A great company of angels praising God. What's that sound like? A celebration, right? It sounds like a celebration. Are you seeing a common thread here in the story? As we continue, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Here they're saying, "Let's go and let's share the celebration in the celebration." So in verse 16, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." More celebration. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." That's probably my favorite line in this passage today. The shepherds returned to their fields still celebrating. It's a party. It isn't ending anytime soon. They just seen Jesus just as they had been told that they would see him. And when you encounter Jesus, you can't be quiet about it. You can't be quiet about it. It leads to celebrating. Friends, through this text of the birth of Jesus is the key to our time this afternoon. It's a celebration. We need to celebrate. If you're at home, we need to celebrate. Let me ask you a question. If you've at some point in your life given your life to Jesus as the Savior and the Lord of your life, the CEO, the leader of your life, if you've ever done that, can you remember back to the time maybe when you really encountered him for the first time? When you kind of embraced him for yourself, can you remember a time like that in your life? I'm not talking about something that you've known your parents to do or your grandparents or your friend or your spouse, sometime they've had. I'm talking about you personally encountering Jesus. Maybe you've not done that yet. Maybe you've not done that. Maybe it's this Christmas season that maybe you'll do that for the first time. I can remember pretty vividly in my life what it was like for me when I first really embraced Jesus for myself. And do you know what a good word would be for me to describe it? It would be celebration. Celebration. There was a thrill in being a new believer in Jesus. There was a new excitement and a purpose in life that I never had before. I was anxious to learn and to grow and to read the Bible and to pray, and I got into a Bible study right away so I could learn more. I just had this burning passion and fire in me when I first came to Jesus of my own will and accord. And I remember when that first Christmas and then the first Easter rolled around after being saved through Jesus, it was like I discovered Christmas for the very first time. It was all so new and so fresh to me. I never knew it had so much meaning. And then with Easter, really comprehending the magnitude of Jesus' death and his resurrection, friends, it was like I lived my life with these blinders on, and all of a sudden they were removed, and I had this brand new clarity that took hold of my life. Can you check back to those feelings that you had in your first encounters with Jesus, where he became really real to you and you had a real understanding of him? Can you remember at all that excitement that you felt? What happened? What I want to know is what happened from that point until now. Why did the good news seem to stop being so good and just become news? I mean, what happens to us that causes the enthusiasm of being a follower of Jesus to kind of start to fall away? Why isn't Jesus worthy of us celebrating 365 days of the year? Well, here's the answer to that. He is worthy. He is worthy of that. The problem isn't his worthiness. It's our forgetfulness. If you're anything like me, and my suspicion is that you are, because we all forget some things, we just forget about the wonder and the majesty. My guess is that even as I read that story from the scripture about Jesus' birth, that many in this room kind of missed the wonder and the majesty of it. I mean, holy smokes, friends, angels popped out of heaven to talk to these dirty shepherds. Multitudes of them were proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, on whom his favor rests." God, in all his power, his hugeness and magnitude, just became a teeny tiny baby on the earth. That's majesty and that's wonder. We forget the wonder and the majesty, and the good news devolves into simply being news. And for some folks, it even goes further than that. It turns into old news. Heard there, been there, done that, right? First, here's what you might want to write down if you're taking notes this afternoon in your message outline. Really, we are forgetting people, and here's what you should write down. We're people of forgetting, and yet our faith is strengthened by remembering. I'll say that again. We're people of forgetting, and yet our faith is strengthened by remembering. Our faith is strengthened by remembering. We're strengthened by remembering. I want to remember. I want to remember all that God's done for me. I mean, don't you? God wants us to remember. He wants us to remember. God does one amazing thing after another in our lives. Instead of celebrating him, we forget him. We need to celebrate in the moment and continue to celebrate. I mean, I hate to stand here before you and admit this, but I have to. To be honest, I have to. I hate to stand before you and admit that as far as I've walked in my journey with Jesus all these years, there are times that I forget his goodness. I forget to worship him and all that he's done for me. Friends, I need to celebrate. I'm not talking about you right now. I'm talking about me, Mark Stephen Quinter. You didn't know my middle name, did you? I need to celebrate. I need to celebrate this Christmas. I need to celebrate because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I've been saved. Because of Jesus, I don't have to pay for my sins. Because of Jesus, I have God's power within me through the Holy Spirit in me today. Because of Jesus, there's a place reserved for me in heaven. Because of Jesus, I can keep growing while I'm here on this earth and changing. And I don't have to stay the same that I am. Because of Jesus, because of Jesus, because of Jesus, I need to celebrate. I need to celebrate. Is there anybody here who's like me, who just needs to be reminded? Maybe if we celebrated more, friends, we would grumble less. Is there anyone here who needs to celebrate? I'll tell you what we're going to do this afternoon. I'm going to share a tool for helping us to remember to celebrate. And the good thing is this a tool that most of us have with us or around us every single day. Maybe in your pocket, maybe in your purse, maybe in your cup holder in your car, maybe in a jar in your home. I learned this from a guy named Doug Fields, a youth pastor years ago, in a message I heard him do. And I shared it here, I think, years ago on a Sunday morning, but it's so good and worth sharing again. And here's what I want you to do. I want everybody in the room to try to find a coin in your pocket or in your purse. See if you can find a coin to have in hand. I don't care what coin it is. And this is where we're going to be not like the Grinch, but we're going to be have Christmas spirit. And if you have a coin, you can pass to somebody else in your aisle. Give them a coin as well so that you can have a coin in your hand. Try to make sure everybody can have one. So if you have extras, pass them around. I have just a couple in my pocket. See if you can find a coin. Everybody got one? Most people got one at home. If you can get a coin, get a coin. Now, I know that some people rarely carry cash these days. We're becoming a digital money society, so we don't often have it. We still see change everywhere, right? You see it all the time. On the ground, in the penny tray at the gas station, the give a penny, take a penny, you know. We see it around us. What I want us to do is let every time that we see pocket change, remind us to celebrate, okay? And here's how we're going to do that. I want to start with the penny. So if you have a penny, hold your penny up for a minute. Anybody got a penny? Got some pennies in the room? I got a penny right here. And here's what I want you to do whenever you see a penny, whenever you have a penny in your hand, I want you to remember this. Number one is penny past. Penny past. Can you remember that? Penny past. But you're not necessarily going to remember the contents of your past. I don't want you to remember just all the things you've done wrong in your past. That's not what we're doing. But here's what I want you to do, and I want you to write this on your outline next to where it says penny past. I want you to write this. I want you to write, my past is forgiven. My past is forgiven. You're not going to celebrate. You're not going to celebrate the contents of your past. You're going to celebrate the fact that God's forgiven you of it. Because of Jesus, we can celebrate the fact, friends, that he can wipe away our past. He can wipe away all of our sin and all of our guilt. Friends, we see a lot of pennies these days, don't we? You can see them on the ground. People don't even stop to pick them up. They could care less about a penny. You'll see pennies laying around. You see a lot of pennies, and that's a good thing because you know what? We need to be reminded of a lot of things that we've been forgiven for, don't we? We have a lot of pennies in our past. We need a lot of forgiveness for the things that we've done. And so every time you see them, you think about that. Some of you really need to hear this because it's your past that's keeping you from celebrating. You feel kind of stuck right now because of the things that you know that you've done. And that kind of keeps your celebration low because you kind of are feeling that guilt and that pain and feel stuck in that. Listen to me very carefully. If you've confessed to Jesus and turned from your past to him to forgive you of your sins, to live in you, then your past is forgiven. It's forgiven. And if you've never done that, if you've never asked him to forgive you and to come into your life, why not do that right now? You see, that's actually the real gift of Christmas. We give gifts at Christmas. Jesus is the one that was born. It was his birthday, but he didn't come to get gifts. He came to be the gift so that your sins could be forgiven. If you've never received that, why not do that right now? This Christmas, Jesus came not just to be born, but he came, friends, to die so that you could be forgiven and that he could be born in you. Your whole life will change in remarkable ways if you acknowledge that and if you invite Jesus to forgive you and to live in you. So we're just going to stop right now before we go on. We're going to stop and pray. And if there's anyone who's never done that and says, right now, my past keeps me from celebrating and I really need forgiveness and I really need Jesus, then I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. So everybody close your eyes. Even if you're at home, close your eyes and let's just pray for a moment. God, I went to Christmas services my whole life until I was 18 and didn't get it. Didn't understand at all what you had done for me, Jesus. Didn't understand at all, but I thought I did. I thought I was indeed a Christian who understood, and I didn't at all. I believe there are probably some in this room, some watching at home right at this moment, who can honestly say, I'm not sure I've ever asked Jesus to forgive my sins. And I know I'm not asking him to come into my life. You're about to get the greatest Christmas present you've ever gotten. If you will listen to God lead you and just invite him in and just pray, it doesn't have to be these words, but something like, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for being born and dying for my sins so that I don't have to. Come into my life today and teach me to celebrate. Teach me to live as you would, Jesus, and lead my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can open your eyes. Friends, Jesus forgives your past, and every time you see a penny, you remember penny past, penny past. Your sins are forgiven. Romans 4, 7 through 8 says, it tells us, oh, what joy for those, this is a great verse, listen, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. The Lord has cleared of sin. That's a celebration. Every time you see a penny, you remember that. Now let's move on to the nickel. If you have a nickel, hold your nickel up. Few people with a nickel? All right. I knew we'd have more pennies because we'd see more of those around. So nickel. Nickel, I want you to put next to nickel, nickel now. Nickel now. Think of now. But don't just stick with now. I want you to write this next to that. Right next to that. Now God's Spirit is in me. Now God's Spirit is in me. That's why we celebrate. You can celebrate that when you said yes to Jesus and you invited him into your life, whenever that was, even if that was just right now, he said yes to you. As a matter of fact, he said yes to you way before you ever said yes to him. And the Holy Spirit lives in your life right now. You don't have to go through life alone, not ever. If you're one who just wants to survive Christmas because you feel alone, well, guess what? You're not alone. With Jesus, you're not alone. That's what Christmas is all about. I think most of our lack of focus on Christ and the mess. Do you get that? Christ mess instead of Christmas. Christ mess. Our lack of focus on Christ and the mess is we get into at times is because we forget as Christians that God's Spirit actually resides in us. I've seen followers of Jesus work themselves into some real pickles in life. I've seen them try to handle life and situations all on their own, and whenever they do that, trying to handle it on their own, they've forgotten the power source that now lives within them. Listen to this paraphrase that comes from the Message paraphrase. I don't use paraphrases a lot, but I like the way this says it of Romans 8:11. Listen to this paraphrase of Romans 8:11. It says, when God lives and breathes in you and does as surely as Jesus is, he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. So whenever you see a nickel, friends, whenever you see a nickel, celebrate and remember. Now God's Spirit lives in me. Now let's move on to the dime. I actually don't have a dime. Anybody have a dime? There's a few dimes out there. Here's what dime stands for. Determined destiny. Determined destiny. Next, this is what I want you to write on your outline. I want you to write this: I have a place in heaven. I have a place in heaven. Who here thinks that we should celebrate that? I think that we should celebrate that, that we have a place in heaven. If you've given your life to Jesus, you've been forgiven of your sins, you have a relationship with Jesus, and your destiny is now determined. There's a place for you in heaven that's worthy of celebration. Why do we celebrate? We celebrate because when life ends here on this earth, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. As followers of Jesus, death has no sting for you. Jesus tells us in John 5:24, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now, what's that mean when Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you"? It's a way of speech in the time. He's using it to get people's attention. He's saying, "Hey, listen up. I'm about to give you a truthful statement, and you don't want to miss this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Jesus says, when we hear and when we believe, friends, I'm so glad that when I heard about Jesus, I believed and I crossed over in life. My destiny is now determined. I couldn't make that happen on my own. It's happened because of the birth and the death and the resurrection of God's Son, who we celebrate at Christmas. And now, if you've not heard before, well, guess what? You have heard it now. So will you believe? Will you believe? Romans 5:21 tells us, "So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." As followers of Jesus, every time you see a dime, you celebrate because your destiny is determined. It is determined. So we have a penny for past. My past is forgiven. A nickel for now. Now God's spirit is within me. A dime for determined destiny. My destiny is determined for heaven. That leaves us with a quarter. Who has a quarter? Got a few quarters in the room. Hold it up for just a moment, like I said, and there's the quarters. A quarter is this, okay? Now this one's going to feel strange. You're not going to expect it. But next to quarter, I want you to put spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Some of you are thinking, where's the Q word? How am I ever going to remember this without a Q word? Hey, I like Q words. Quinter starts with a Q. I like Q words. I do. But just let me help you here. Listen, and you're going to remember this, and I'll explain it to you in just a moment. But first, I want you to write next to that on your outline, I can continue to grow. I can continue to grow. I don't have to stay the same. Is that worth celebrating? That's worth celebrating for me. I can celebrate that I can grow and spiritually develop. Okay, it's not as easy to remember the quarter, but here's how we're going to do this. One day, Jesus was telling a story about a farmer. Maybe you've heard it before. And in the story, this farmer planted some seeds, and the seeds he planted, only one quarter, do you get it now? Only one quarter of them grew. Only one quarter. Think about the 75% that didn't grow. Only one quarter of them grew. And you can celebrate your growth. Listen as I share from Jesus' words in Matthew 13:3-9. "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns and grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Friends, will you be a part of the 25% that hears and grows? Some of you will hear this afternoon, but you won't really hear it, and you'll miss the real celebration. Some of you have heard about Jesus, but you've not really listened, and you've not, and because of that, you've been eaten or burned or choked. How about that not being the case for any of us this afternoon? How about us being part of that one quarter that hears and believes and grows? One quarter growth. Can you remember that? If you're growing spiritually, you surely better celebrate every time that you see a quarter, because you're part of the one quarter that's having spiritual growth. You have potential to grow and to change beyond your wildest dreams. So friends, we have a reason to celebrate. We can have a pocket change Christmas 365 days of the year. Every time you see coins, you can just no longer be forgetful about his wonder and majesty of Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Instead, you can jingle bell your way all the way across with your change. Penny, past is forgiven. Nickel, now God's spirit's within me. Dime, my destiny is determined. And quarter, I'll be a part of the quarter of the seed that continues to grow. As we come together this Christmas Eve, friends, we need to celebrate. And I want to close today, before we go into our candlelight time, and doing that in one of my favorite ways. And I don't know about you, but I love traditional Christmas carols. And when they're done right, they just really can connect and really help us to celebrate all that they're about. We're going to close in just a moment with candlelight and silent night. But before we do, I want to just lead us, if I can, in a time with just our voices. And just like the first verse of a couple of the Christmas carols, some of them we've already sung already this afternoon. That's okay. But just you and me and our voices. And I'm going to need you here, because especially with our folks at home, they can only hear my mic. So they're just going to unfortunately get me. But will you do this with me? Let's just sing together. Ready? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. One more. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you. We celebrate you. We celebrate you, Jesus. It is so beautiful just to have the voices of your people together singing and worshiping you in song. God, you are good. When we didn't deserve it, you gave your only son, Jesus, to die for us. And we are so blessed because of that. Help us to always celebrate it 365 days of the year. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I actually have a pastor friend who called me this week, and he said that he didn't have a pianist or organist for Christmas Eve. He was asking if I knew anybody that could fill in, and I talked to Mike, and we couldn't think of anybody, so I sent him a message back and gave him some ideas of what he could do, and I said, or you could just have like a really sweet time singing a cappella without any instruments, and I think that that could be a real blessing, and it just was, wasn't it? It really was. We're going to move into to Silent Night. And we're going to do that with candlelight as we do every year. And, you know, how many times have we done this now? I can't think how many times I've done it. And I'm still every time kind of wowed by the light in the room. And we still have a lot of people, even with the winter storm, not as many as usual, but we still have a lot of people here, and it's about to get really beautiful in here as the lights go out and the candles go on. I'm going to take the flame from the Christ candle, and we'll just start it and just keep passing it around until the whole room is lit up as we sing Silent Night together. Boy, I kind of hate to say it's done. Merry Christmas to you. Take the light of Jesus everywhere you go. The world needs it right now so badly. Let them know about the Jesus that you celebrate so that they can become a part of the celebration as well. Good night. Merry Christmas.